Hello. Thank you for tuning into the For What For Who podcast. My name is Courtney Croucher, and I'm really excited to have you here. I've always been obsessed with self-development and pop culture and everything that influences how we live our lives, which is why we're here today, because I believe that with everything you do, every decision you make, for what, for who, my intention is for this to be a resource for people who want to have better relationships, health, professional growth, balance in your lives, and self-love. Subscribe to hear my journey along with special guests every Monday for a blunt approach to living life unapologetically on your terms. Thank you for tuning in and enjoy the episode. All right. Hello, everybody. Happy Monday. Today, I'm joined by a guest. She is a friend named Chloe Wayne. She is a lawyer, entrepreneur, and now founder and president of Novera Consulting. We met through Women in Power and have now become friends. And she's actually living in BC now, which is I'm so excited about. Chloe, welcome to For What For Who podcast.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you here. It's so cool because we have had such amazing discussions, and that's why I wanted to bring you on the podcast, because you've gone through so much change. And I always am a big proponent of like one decision can change your entire life, but you literally am like a walking example of this, both relationship wise, career wise. So I would love to just for you to like introduce yourself and kind of just like share a little bit of context of where you were and where you are today, and then we'll kind of get into the nitty-gritty.
Oh yeah, I think the perfect place for me to start talking about life choices and transitions for me is probably in 2019. So to give you a bit of context, I graduated law school in 2018. At that point was feeling really excited about embarking on my journey as a lawyer. And in 2019, I was coming up on the end of my year of articling, which is like an internship where you work for a law firm and they help you get licensed. So the law firm that I was working for at that time was a place that didn't have very good culture. It was a pretty toxic work environment, lots of mental health issues at that firm. And I personally, by the time I got to my articling term, was feeling so burnt out, so kind of at the upper limits of my ability to push myself. And, you know, this is coming from someone who has always kind of been a type A hustler personality. And I was just feeling so spent. Like I was hitting my head against a wall every day. I would be crying in the elevator because it was just such a stressful work environment. And it was at that point that I think I started to sense that there needed to be a shift. And at that time, before I'd really kind of come into all of the awareness of what the next chapter of my life would require of me, I thought, okay, yeah, I just need a new job. And at that time, I was receiving a lot of kind of pressure from my partner at that time to stay in law.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's lots of pieces that we can unpack about the suitability of that partnership for me at the time. But part of the problem was in making my decision to leave the law firm or to not stay at the firm that I was at the time. There was a really big wedge that came between myself and my partner, who was my fiance at the time. Because I really did not feel supported in my decision to, or my need to be in a different work environment. And it's kind of still hard for me to talk about, because I really was feeling like I needed to make a change. And he really loved the idea of me being this like high powered lawyer. And he was really excited about us being a dual income household. And I think he had a lot of expectations of me and what, you know, our life together would look like. And that's when things started to kind of fall out of alignment for me. So in the fall of 2019, I got a new law job at a great firm, and I was, you know, I was happy working there. The area of practice wasn't one that I wanted to stay in. So then in January of 2020, I switched to a new law firm, and then the pandemic hit and my you know, my partner at the time and I, who had gone from spending almost no time in the same home together, yeah, were then thrust into an environment that was already, in my opinion, kind of quickly deteriorating. Right. We didn't share a lot of the same life views, and we really kind of butted heads on some important things. And then we're spending every waking moment together. And I thought that I was just going to go crazy. Yeah. We were supposed to have our wedding in August of 2020. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in probably April or May, once, you know, there was kind of signs that the pandemic was not going to be slowing down anytime soon. Yeah. We made the decision to postpone the wedding until October. And I think the combination of postponing the wedding and, you know, really being confronted with what my work as a lawyer actually was, AKA spending my entire day on a computer, reading, researching, emailing, not interacting with clients, not being the litigator in the courthouse that I was trained and that I was so excited to be, really got me thinking about, like, is this the life that I want? And I think a lot of people found themselves really confronted with their existence in the pandemic. And I certainly, you know, that aligns very much for me. But it's a hard experience when you reach the point at your life where you think that you should be so happy. Mm-hmm. And in fact, you have never been so miserable. I was engaged to a person who I had been with for 8 years. And, you know, by all accounts, I thought that we had a good relationship, or, you know, I had convinced myself that we had a good relationship. Right. And I had the job that I had worked, you know, years to get. And all of it just rang so hollow for me. I was engaging in behavior to try and numb. So I was doing so much online shopping. I was looking outside of myself for validation. I was so concerned about projecting this image of who I thought I should be to the world. Wanted to be this perfect person, this perfect partner, perfect lawyer, perfect woman. And I was so lost. I was so lost and felt so far from myself in that season of my life. And I just knew that something needed to change. Mm. And it's an important prequel to this next sort of foray into things that, you know, my partner and I had already kind of had discussions about where our relationship was going. We were in premarital counseling, or we were in couples counseling, because we had some pretty profound communication issues. We were in kind of a pursuer retriever dynamic, or pursuer something dynamic, where he really was kind of the aggressor, the pursuer, and I had the inclination to retreat, because I found the approach that he came forward with just didn't work for me. And so we had this dynamic where he would continue to like push and demand things of me, and I would just check out and say, I can't be a partner.
You just like shut down.
And like, as our relationship continued to progress, more and more parts of me had to shut down in order for the relationship to work. So we had to stop talking about politics. We had to stop talking about values. We had to stop talking about so many things to avoid conflict. And I just continued to shut down more and more of who I am in order for the relationship to work. And so we were already kind of at a point of evaluating how our relationship was going. And pre-pandemic and early 2020, we had talked about whether an open relationship would be a good, you know, piece. Mm. And that was something that, you know, just in a combination of discussions with other women and listening to podcasts, I was kind of like, okay, yeah, like this seems like that might be good for me. Like that might be good for me as an avenue to explore other parts of myself, because like I said, I was just feeling so lost and so far away from who I am. And so that started to evolve in a way that was kind of opening up some space for me to really look at myself and my life differently. So during the pandemic, even though, everything is kind of like shut down, I am trying to pry open the parts of me that I've shut off. Mm-hmm. And really that started with a trip to Vancouver after we'd postponed our wedding. And I just said, I need some space and I need even just 5 days outside of this house that feels like a prison to me. Yep. I got to get out. I got to do something different.
We fled to the same city.
We did. We sought refuge in the same place. I had my undergrad roommate lived out here. I had some friends here, and I needed to take a break. So I went to Vancouver and I ended up reconnecting with a long, long ago friend, someone who I had known, growing up, and we, were always close and had, a great friendship connection and a lot of mutual respect and, a lot of shared history. And it was that 5 day trip that really started the snowball rolling down the hill in a way that I couldn't really stop. Mm. Because it was almost as though through this person's eyes, this person who I had known for such a long time, that I'm surprised. I'm actually a little bit emotional about this.
Oh,
it was like I had the opportunity to see myself again.
And see
the person who I really am at my core.
Yeah.
And it was like in that moment, because I temporarily left behind the identity that I had built up as a means of self-protection, that I could actually see who I am and see the kind of life that I wanted to have and the kind of person that I really am.
Mm.
And from that moment on, it was almost like I couldn't go back.
Yeah. And how do you?
Well, practically I had to.
True.
My 5 day vacation came to an end and I go back home.
I want to know you're on a flight home.
Yeah.
And you have this amazing 5 days in Vancouver. Reconnect with this person. You finally are seeing your life in a different light again. You're feeling you again. There's this flood of emotions coming through. You're getting clarity. It's starting to spark. But then you're like, oh, I have to fucking go. Still, I still have this flight back. I have a fiance. I have a career I hate. I have all these things that I feel this change is occurring, but nothing's actually happened yet, even though emotionally and internally, it felt like it already happened almost.
Yeah. Oh, that flight home was jarring.
for reference, it's about a 5 to 6 hour flight to Ontario. And, you have, a couple hours at the airport to kill. It's a whole hours of just this. And so when you don't want to go back, it really starts to hit.
You know, what's so funny is I hadn't thought about that moment specifically, because I thought about everything that came after that, but you asking that question just gave me such a visceral memory of what it was like being in that airport. I cried the whole time, basically. I remember I had my mask on in the airport, and I'd never been so thankful for masks in my whole life, because I'm in the airport, my mask is on, I'm bawling. I'm trying not to like lose my composure in an embarrassing way in the airport, because I'm just having this feeling of like, okay, everything is about to blow up. Like everything is about to just explode, because I didn't know how I would feel when I landed back in Ottawa and I, you know, saw my fiance, but I knew that the feelings that I was having, I couldn't stuff them back in the box. Like there was no, there was
a can of worms. Like there's no way. Yeah.
And so I didn't know at the time everything that would happen in the weeks following, but I had this feeling like, okay, I've fucked up. Like I've opened up a can of worms and I can't go back from it. And it was really funny and kind of kismet. And I'm someone, you know, people can think it's cheesy, but I will always be someone who says that everything happens for a reason. You know, the universe provides you with the tools and everything that you need. And it's just about whether or not you make the decisions. I had brought Glennon Doyle's
Untamed. I was just thinking about this book when you were speaking. I'm actually reading her Love Warrior as we speak now. I'm already halfway through. I started it yesterday. I'm halfway through. But I've read Untamed before, and I read that the first time I came to Vancouver, and it changed the fucking game as well, which is so right fun.
So I had that book. My sister gave it to me many months before. And I was in a season at that time where, just because of how busy I was with work, like I wasn't reading many books for pleasure. Yep. I hadn't read a book in, you know, maybe a year or two other than a book club that I'd been part of. And I'd had it with me, like either in my bag or in my suitcase or wherever I had been for like months. And on the plane ride home, I cracked it open and it was just like, I was reading a handbook for what I had to do next.
Literally.
It was like, amazing. It put me in, it was in my lap and it was telling me, okay, Chloe, it's time to make some tough choices. Yeah. And it's time to think about who you are as a person and what you want the rest of your life to look like. Because clearly where you have gotten to today has not made you happy and has not brought you peace.
That come to Jesus moment, that ick that you get of like, I can't do this anymore.
It was the ick. It was the ick. And it was the ick for everything. It was the ick for the whole life that I had. And it was like, I had to just burn the whole thing down and start over.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was then like a lot of tough conversations than when I got home. Because I'm saying to this person who I've been with for 8 years,
plot twist,
none of this is working for me. And, you know, like I do want to say that I made quite a concerted effort to, you know, see if the relationship was salvageable, if there was a way that we could, you know,
I don't think anyone just wakes up and says, I'm just going to blow up my life and just does it. Like, I think there's a lot of like, is there any fucking way I'm wrong about this? Is there any way that like what I'm feeling right now can be buried so that I don't have to explode all of these things? Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think part of it too is like, in a sense, you know, some people may see, And this is something I've struggled with too, is looking at my actions. Was this selfish? Was this selfish for me to, you know, conduct myself in this way? Was this too much to ask? Did I do something that was unfair to this person? And you know, I have spent many hours reflecting on this and, you know, doing my shadow work about that. But the thing is, the reason why we were in that place in the first place is because I had prioritized someone else's happiness before mine for so long. And because I was always asking what other people needed of me instead of what I needed of them or what I needed of myself. Yeah. And so, although in the short term, obviously this, the breakdown of our relationship did cause a lot of hurt and did, you know, it was likely a lot for him to reconcile.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think, would I have done it differently if I had had the hindsight? Of course, but I can't know
what you don't know. Like, and you just said something so interesting. You're like, is this selfish? And you said earlier, I was trying to be the perfect woman. And I think that being like a woman in society who like wants a relationship, but also wants a career that they love, I think is a two different, like a dynamic that we're seeing more in the modern day woman, because not only is this always this thing of you, like, do you have to choose between career or relationship, but also what happens when you feel this feeling of you should be happy and you're not.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. And I think that's the thing is I know deep in my heart that the kindest thing for me, once I had realized that this was no longer the right relationship mm-hmm. for me, was for it to end. Yeah. And was it hard? Courtney, one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do, because I was plagued by guilt and shame and embarrassment.
And like, this isn't just like breaking up with someone over text. Like at this point you live together.
We live together.
You have a house together.
We live together.
Planning a wedding. Like there's a lot. Like when I think of the logistics of this, because I, for reference for anyone who's listening and doesn't know my relationship history, like I've never had a long-term relationship. I've never lived with someone. But I am fascinated by relationships and I love talking about this stuff. And I think that the idea of a breakup is already hard. The actual, you know, the transitional period and the like conversations with not only said partner, but family of, hey, I'm leaving my fiance. You're telling your friends and the people you've invited to the wedding. Like, I cannot imagine. We don't have to go too in depth because maybe, you know.
Oh, you know what? This is probably the part that I can like find humor and laugh at the most. Is you know that your life is taking a turn when you are on your way to your office, sobbing on the phone with your dad, telling him about you, how you have an open relationship, and now you are deciding to leave your fiance, and you don't know what you're doing, and everything is falling apart. Like this is something that actually happened.
Oh man.
My ex and I are in the throes of the breakdown of our relationship. We are still living together.
Yeah.
We are fighting constantly. I am still working as a lawyer, trying to bill my, you know, 7 hours a day.
Yeah.
And I'm not eating, I'm nothing, like no life function things are happening. I'm just like one foot in front of the other. And I decided on this day to go into the office because I just needed some space. And my dad, it was either that he texted me because we hadn't talked in maybe could have been 2 weeks. No concept.
Time wasn't of the like a factor for you at that time. You can't even like function at that point.
No, I think I may have texted him something like, oh, not great. Or like, not good. And then all of a sudden, before I know it, like we're on the phone and I'm breaking down and I'm, you know, just word vomit. I'm just saying everything because I had, even in that period of a few weeks where things are kind of breaking down and like, I know that they're breaking down. I'm still trying to preserve it. I'm still trying to like keep everything together.
Tell your mom and dad, I feel like you can't go back. Like,
oh no. And really that was the beginning of the end essentially, because I think my dad could hear the desperation in my voice and could
hear,
"Help
me, I don't know what to do
now. I don't know what to do." And I think those were the words that for him, just said, "I need to go and help her." And like, I'm so thankful. And I, you know, really credit my dad a lot for like his parental intuition, because we had that call at like 8:30 in the morning. And an hour later, he's like, "Hey, so I just had a talk with Ellen, his partner. And we're just going to come and we're going to book a hotel, and you don't need to tell us to do anything, but like, I'm just going to come." And
that's so amazing.
Yeah. And it really was the thing that helped me kind of get over the hurdle of like, okay, this is done. Yeah. And I need to start thinking ahead for what's next.
No one gives you a to-do list of when you're deciding to leave your fiance. No one says, "Okay, first step," like there's no handbook for this shit. Like you're literally in this mix of also like, what I don't think we touched on this, like you're burnt out as fuck from work as well. So not only are you like dealing with a global pandemic, you're leaving your fiance with a wedding that continues to get postponed. And I mean, weird timing in that. And then you're burnt out and there's no time off for when you decide to change your entire life. There's no, especially in corporate law, like no one gives a fuck about whether you even slept last night, let alone if your life is like being flipped upside down. So I cannot imagine living through that. Just, there is humor in it of like that, like having your coffee and your laptop in the bag and something just like, I haven't eaten, I haven't slept, I've cried all morning and I'm going to go to do my job. Like, this is just, it's crazy.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's in those moments where you're kind of like holding on to the things that like give you structure, or like holding on to, you know, the stuff that allows you to keep putting one foot in front of the other. So my dad and his partner, they book a hotel room. I leave work and go straight there. I have no clothes. I have no toothbrush. Yep. Like I have nothing. I have the dress that I wore to work and that's it. And they just said, "Okay, like we're just going to make a plan for the next 24 hours. Like, I think you need to come home, like back to Waterloo. So let's go to the house tomorrow. You're going to pack a bag for a couple weeks." And I still had something I had to file. Like the whole reason why I was going into the office was because I was like assembling a book of documents that I had to file at the courthouse. And so I'm saying like, okay, like I have to get this filing deadline and then we can leave.
Let me finish this report and then I can put my life upside down. Like, just hold on.
Literally that. And I'm like, I just remember, like, I'm just shaking. I'm at the courthouse the next day. I'm just like begging the court clerk to just like, please take my papers and just let me leave. And then, and then I left and I went back home to Waterloo and I stayed with my parents for a couple of weeks. And then in that time, you know, my ex was saying like, "Oh, we need to go back to counseling. We need to do all of these things." And he's trying to, you know, find us a therapist who specializes in couples reconciliation and all of this stuff, like saving relationships. And I just was like, "I'm done. Yeah. I'm done." And like the time for me, for all of this effort, for all of the, you know, how much you want to invest in making this relationship work, like where was this when I asked for you to do things
Eight
with me?
Years of like up
where
and down.
Was this when I wanted to go on work trips with you and you said no? Where was this when, you know, all of these days where you were golfing like 5 days a week? Like where was this effort? Like
there's like the emotional damage that like, and the trust that's been broken and all that. But then also it's logical. If like, where is all, like you've got the facts there. And it's like, I follow the principle of if it's not a fuck yes, it's a no. Yeah, and it's really, it's a tough thing to swallow when that thing, when you're in that gray middle area where you're in the losing game and you want to be wrong, but you know, you're right. Your intuition is telling you everything like opposite. And you're like, stop, stop, stop. Don't tell me this. I can't do this right now, but there's no convenient time to make a change in your life. Like, I think that's what it is. And if you, when you think of like looking from an outsider's perspective, if you saw like your best friend going through the same thing, I'm kind of curious of like, what would you tell her?
Oh, you know what? I'm so fortunate, and I had so many great people who provided me support at that time. I have wonderful friends, and I have an amazing family, and I'm truly so, so grateful for them, because that it would have felt like too much. It would have felt too overwhelming if I hadn't had these people who know me, know my core, and who said, it's okay. Mm-hmm. And like, that's really, I think if you see a friend who's going through something like that, or going through like a big life transition, is just, you know, telling them it's okay. And like, really speaking to who you are as a person, because like, I had these moments where I'm like, I feel horrible. I feel horrible about myself. Mm-hmm. I feel horrible that I've put someone who I genuinely care about in this situation. Yeah. What does this say about me? All of this stuff. But like, to have people who can speak to your character, speak to your heart, and say like, it's okay.
Yeah.
And like, you're okay. And I still love you, and I care about you, and I'm here for you. Like that's all I would do. And I would, and I hope that I could be the kind of friend that I needed at that time, which was someone who could just, you know, be on the phone with me and walk me through it and like really give me the real. Like I had my friends and my sister was just kind of like, okay, like she's very different from me. She's like very rational, logical, whatever. And I am that way too in certain respects, but I can also, you know, like be a little chaotic, be a little all over the place.
I resonate with that 1000%.
Yeah. And so she was like so shocked when I started unpacking everything with her. But I think like, again, she knows me and she knows my heart. And she just said, okay, like if you're telling me like deep in your core that this is what's right for you, then let's do it.
I think people trust, like, especially the girl, because you said you're type A. And I mean, just knowing you personally, I think you're that person where perceivingly you've got it all together all the time. And so for you to say this, to the people that you love, I'm not okay. I need help. I need support. I think a lot of people, when you are that person, because I'm kind of that person in my personal relationships as well. Yeah. And I think that no one typically questions it when I do say something like that, because they know if I'm asking that, it's like, it's legit. Because typically we're the people who has it all together all the time and who's there for everyone else.
That resonates with me so much, because I think I genuinely don't know that I'd ever been in a position where I was forced to ask for help. Mm-hmm. And not even ask for it, but where I was so desperately in need that the people around me were just like, oh, okay, yeah. She needs help.
Like, it's not like you asked your dad, like, can you come here? He just heard in your voice of like, oh, I'm booking a hotel. I am coming.
Yeah.
You don't have to ask. Like, it's like he had to make that decision, because I think when you're in that like fight or flight mode, like nervous system shut down, emotionally exhausted, burnt out from work, we're experiencing a global pandemic. Like there's so many layers there that you don't know even what to ask for. You don't even know what you need. Like 100%. You need a nap.
I needed people to make so much, like I lost my executive function. Yeah. Like I needed people to tell me, okay, like we're going to go get something to eat. Okay. You're going to go pack a bag. You're going to go do this. You're going to come home for 2 weeks and do this. And so, you know, that was truly a humbling experience for me as someone who always wanted to have their shit together and always wanted to be able to help other people, to be brought to my knees and at a place where I had to rely on other people really was the catalyst for everything else that was to come, because I had to completely let go of my self-image in order to get
swallow
to a better
pride
place.
And ego and a lot of things there, even though we're not even like, I think you and I both don't lead with like, we mean to be like egotistical or anything, but it's like one of those things when you feel like, well, I'm always the person that has it together. Mm-hmm. There is that weirdness of like, I don't know how to ask for help. And does this make me weak? Does this make me, like, I think there's a lot of questions that come up, and I don't know. I think I experienced that like not too long ago, a couple of months ago, of just looking in the mirror and be like, I don't fucking like who I'm becoming. I don't like my life. I don't like what this looks like. And the minute you get the ick, it's really humbling, because you're like, I don't know it all. I don't have it all together, and I can't pretend any longer. So it's kind of interesting. We were talking before we hit record about burnout, and you're telling me that you've read something about how it like literally lingers for like 3 to 5 years. So this has all kind of happened. You've since like moved to Vancouver, you quit corporate law, you have your own company, you're in a healthy, and it sounds like an amazing relationship. I haven't had the pleasure to meet him yet, but he sounds incredible. I'm like, does he have a brother? And you're like a different person now. You live in such a different way.
Yeah.
What are the couple of things that have really like shifted, even in just like day-to-day living of this new life?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, having that like brought to my knees moment, and like fully being humbled just in terms of like life decisions and all of that, what changed for me was realizing that I had to define success for myself, and I had to define positive experiences for myself, because I had been holding myself to external standards of career success, of what a good relationship looks like, having a beautiful house, all of this stuff. And I had to completely redefine what a happy, purposeful, soul-driven life was. And so that's, I think, the most significant difference in terms of like how my life is now, is that like I genuinely am not living life for anybody else. And, and that, again, like, you know, your internal narrative about like, oh, is this selfish? Or it's just that I'm empowering myself to make decisions that I know are good for me, which I know will then be good for all the people that I love and care about. And it means that I'm taking care of myself more. And it means that I'm not doing work, or I'm not doing things that people say will make me successful, make me rich, make me all of these things. You know, I'm a career-driven person, and I'm really excited about the work that I'm doing with Novera, but it's because it's work that I'm choosing to do from a place of purpose and a place of feeling really aligned that this is the right work for me. Not like, okay, well, you know, you're going to be a litigator, and to be a good litigator, you have to, you know, take on these kind of clients and bill this many hours. And this is how you have to interact with partners. And, you know, you have to make sure that they like you. I don't care if people like me now. Yeah. And that may not seem like such a big thing to other people, but that was a profound shift for me as like a lifelong people pleaser, someone who always prided themselves in being somebody that everybody liked.
That's what the good woman does. That's what the perfect woman does, is you dress the part, you act the part, you say thank you when you want to punch someone in the face. Like you like, it's all of those things. Like I think a lot of us are starting to finally unlearn the bullshit that it's like the unwritten rules of being a woman, especially in like a corporate law setting, and being even an entrepreneur, right? Being having that freedom of like, I'm doing things that I like to do, that I'm passionate about.
Yeah. And I mean, like just even small things, like you said, when you say yes, but when your gut really says no, or when, you know, you have an opinion about something, but you're talking to a partner and like, oh, well, you know, you shouldn't tell a partner they're wrong. You should do all of these things. Now, oh my God, it feels so liberating and so freeing to have my voice back and to say what I think and, you know, live in a way that feels good to me, instead of just always worrying, oh, well, like, what are they going to think about this? And is this going to get me the right kind of audience? Oh my God. It's so freeing to just like let that go. And it's been hard, to be honest. Like I think I had really gotten so good at like putting everything through this nice filter, both in my personal relationships and in my professional life, that I wasn't seeing anything that felt true to me. And it took a while. I I had this weird time where I felt like I couldn't get my words out because there was just such a disconnect between like the filter and the real me. And I would get tongue-tied so often.
Oh my God, that happens to me all the time, or at least it used to, maybe not so much anymore, but like that's exactly, that's, I've never actually heard someone explain that. I feel a little sick right now.
When you're like shifting from the way that you used to talk and the way you used to interact to then like finding your real voice, it was, I felt so self-conscious about it because I would be having conversations that I would like,
no one knows that you're going through this, like unveiling and like, you know, the taking off the filter, but internally it's like this panic. And I even, there's certain things I say, like, instead of saying, I think, I say, I know, and I try to shift my language, but sometimes I come back and if I'm talking to someone, especially in a professional setting, and I say, I think, and I want to explain something, I actually retract. I go, actually, no, sorry, I know, blah, 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 blah. And I might sound tongue-tied to them. And I kind of, even my mind gets a little frazzled because my point is now a little bit less articulate than it meant to be.
Yeah, but when you're like trying to make that shift, like you are literally going from the person of who you used to be to the person that you want to be. And you're trying to like build the car while you're driving of who you are. And it was really funny. I experienced a lot of that last summer because, you know, I ended my relationship with the last law firm that I was working at. And I decided that I was going to start Novera. And so I had, you know, you get used to saying like, oh, I'm a lawyer at such and such place, to being like,
who am I again?
who am I? And like, what do I do? And like, what am I all about? And I was like crying all the time. Like, I'm sure if you talk to some of my friends, it was a hilarious summer to be around me because I would have two drinks and I would just be bawling like all the time. Cause I had all these, like, I had all of this emotion that had just been suppressed for so many years that it was like, I lifted the lid off and finally could breathe.
It's boiling though. It's boiling over and the waterfalls are coming in. It's like, that's what happened when I got sober, of like, emotions felt fucking like they come at you fast because it's just, you can't, it's like the can of worms, they're open and you can't stuff it back in.
So, you know, now almost like I'm coming up on a year of my entrepreneurship journey and like finding a lot more stability, both in terms of who I am and, you know, the path forward. And yeah, like to circle back to the question you asked about what does it look like for me now in this season, it's just only choosing to do things that like feel really aligned. And like you said, if it's not a fuck yes, then it's a no. And so I'm like really looking for the places where I'm so enthusiastic about life and living and all of that. So it's cool. It's nerve wracking. And like, I'm still kind of like stumbling my way through it, but I'm so much happier than I've been in like years. And I think it's cool because the people who know me through social media or who I don't see often day to day, like I get messages from people who are like, you look so happy. Like you
literally glow. Your skin looks different. Like your eyes look brighter.
And I go back and I look at pictures of myself in like different seasons, and it's so nice just like seeing light in my eyes again and, you know, feeling at home in my body instead of it feeling like a place where like I'm a stranger and everything is up here. Like when you're working in law, everything is in your head and you sometimes forget that there's a body that carries your brain
1,000%. I think that is huge. And like, I don't know if you've read How to Do the Work by Nicole.
No, I haven't.
She's the holistic psychologist.
Is it Nicole Perla?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Great book. I feel like I need to read it again. Cause I read it back in, I want to say like October or November last year.
Yeah.
And it like kind of opened my eyes to so many things. Cause it's so random. Like I started going to acupuncture every other week and I was learning about how much stress and stuff I was internalizing and my nervous system was fucked up. And so reading that book, it highlighted all the ways that all of these things are in combination, and that physical, like, being in the effects of burnout of work and relationships, and like, it's all combined, and it can literally start to break your soul, you know? And so when you start to do the work and you start to heal, the way that all of it also starts to align and click, like, it's so crazy. And healing your nervous system, and almost like, do you wake up still sometimes and your nervous system's like full of cortisol because you're like almost so used to that so many years ago of like waking up and okay, it's time to hit the ground running?
You know what? It took me some months, and that's where, you know, I'll circle back to what we were talking about before, which is that it takes 3 to 5 years to recover from burnout, because, you know, I would have thought, like, you know, law brain Chloe would have thought that like a month or 2 months would have just been like luxurious. Like the things that I thought that I was going to do in this couple months, you know, between my last law job and then starting Novera, I thought to myself, oh, I'll take like 2, maybe 3 months. And like, I'll do yoga every day, and I'm going to like swim and go to the beach, and I'm going to read all these books, and I'm going to do my shadow work, and I'm going to do all this stuff. And then when you actually like take your foot off the gas, I just stopped. And it was kind of confronting to then realize how much had gotten programmed into me about keeping pace with things. And then when you take your foot off the gas, like sometimes you just shut down. Yeah. Like you sleep a lot, and you know, it's much harder to kind of motivate yourself to do things. And so that recovering from burnout, like it's really hard for people to do when you have bills to pay and when you kind of have to go right into the next job after you've left your last one. And so like really recognizing that healing your nervous system, and I'm no expert in this by any means, but like I've just had the benefit of approaching it at an even pace. And I've only just started to recover the same level of, you know, motivation and drive and ability that I had kind of like pre-burnout, because it takes so much longer than you might think. Mm-hmm. And it requires a lot more of just doing nothing than we even expect. Like it was so surprising to me. What's been most surprising to me too, though, is that if you had told me, you know, this time last year, even that the thing that would make me most successful is stopping everything, like taking a break, I would have just been like, okay, yeah, maybe everyone else says that, but like, not me. Like, that doesn't make sense. Yeah. I couldn't conceive of how that would be possible. But like, you really do need to kind of make room for the miracles, and you have to allow yourself the space for opportunities to come to you, because really that's how I sometimes feel like I've fallen ass backwards into my dream life, but it's because I just was open enough to the possibility that, okay, even if it's not perfect and even if things have to fall apart, eventually they come together. And, you know, it's so scary to look down the barrel of what's ahead and think like, this looks terrifying. And like, your body feels like you could die. Like, you're just like, I could die. And like, everything could fall apart and I could have no money. But yes, those things happen. And it's a point of privilege on my part to have not had to have that like real experience of not knowing where I was going to live, or, you know, I've always had the benefit of friends and family to turn to in those situations. So, you know, I acknowledge my privilege in that I've never had to wonder where my next meal was going to come from. Although, you know, entrepreneurial life, cash is tight, but you make it work. And like we are industrious, resilient, courageous humans who will overcome, and you just have to have confidence in yourself and faith in your abilities that you'll make it work no matter what happens. And that's been like my biggest takeaway from the last couple years of my life, is that I'll make it work. I'll figure it out. And, you know, as stressful as it feels sometimes, I know that there'll be a way forward, and that it just may mean I have to take a few minutes to take a deep breath before embarking on the path. But
definitely. I mean, when you go through that much change in like kind of a small amount of time, actually, when like in hindsight, it's kind of like, what else can life throw at you? Like, you've been through that. You can make it through fucking anything, right?
Like, I feel that. I genuinely felt that, like, once, because as a child of divorce, sometimes the scariest thing to you seems like having your relationship fall apart. Like, I don't speak for everyone whose parents are divorced, but like that, my parents split up when I was 16. That was a really, really hard time for me. And like, that was kind of my first like real life traumatic experience.
For sure.
And so, you know, you go about relationships with like a white knuckle grip on the steering wheel, because you know how hard it was to have everything fall apart, that like, this was me in my last relationship, white knuckling it, being like, I'm not going to let this fall apart. I'm not going to, you know, repeat these patterns. I'm going to make sure that I don't veer off the path. And you're gripping the steering wheel so tight that you forget how to drive.
You're confronting your childhood trauma, literally.
Yeah. And so I think for me, because I remember when my ex and I moved into our place together, it almost felt like that was scarier for me than the idea of getting married, because it felt like, okay, we can't go back from here. Like we can't go back. So this is it. Like we're doing this now.
We've hung the paintings, like the couch is in, like the TV's here. It feels way too definite than even a piece of paper, right?
100%. And I'm someone who gets like really overwhelmed in moving, and the idea of like, of having a relationship fall apart and us not living together, like that was the scariest thing to me. That was my like primal fear. Mm-hmm. And so then to do it and have all of that happen, and like, yes, I cried, and I ate chicken nuggets and Lucky Charms for like months, because that was all that I could stomach. Like, I survived for 2 months.
Oh my God, Lucky Charms.
And chicken nuggets and Lucky Charms, because those were the only, like, in my anxiety and guilt induced nausea, those were the only things that I could
eat. That actually brings me back. That used to be the thing that I always went to as a kid and teenager, was Lucky Charms. Like, that was what I ate when I was going through emotional trauma.
Yeah. And like, and to do it, and like, yeah, it was hard and it was awful. And like, you know, it's still, I mean, I'm not out of the woods. My ex and I still have not settled our property dispute. And it's, you know, it's not a fun time. But like, once you overcome that thing that feels so scary to you, like, I don't know how I would survive this, after that, everything else doesn't feel so scary. And so, you know, after that, starting my own business didn't seem so scary. Moving to a new place with my new partner didn't feel so scary. Like, none of it feels like it's that big a deal anymore, because I feel like I overcame what was for me like the scariest possible outcome. So then after that, like, you just look at it and say, okay, it's going to be a challenge. Like, some stuff is going to come at me, but like, I know that I can handle it. I'll figure it out.
I love that.
Yeah.
My last question for you: what would you tell to 16-year-old Chloe?
Oh my God. Wow.
We're going deep. Might cry on a Monday morning. Who knows?
I mean, I already did, but, I think I would tell her that listening to your gut will never lead you astray, and that you're going to have a lot of experiences that are going to hurt you, challenge you, make you question who you are and the kind of person that you want to be. And a lot of people are going to tell you the right way to live, but you know in your gut what's right. And the sooner that you learn to listen to that, the happier and better off you'll be.
Oof. For what? For who? Right? Like, that's it. That's it right there. Oh, I fucking love that. Oh, okay. So to kind of wrap this up, I want you to tell the listeners about Novera and like what you do, because it's very, very interesting and it's such a cool concept. I've never heard of this type of company.
Yeah. Well, and first I just want to say thank you, because this has felt like therapy.
I'm glad.
You know, it's a hard thing to like, do you know, I'm still like in the process of compartmentalizing all of this as the past, because for a while it's very much felt like the present and just like going through it. And so now I'm just
that's kind of cool. Oh, I'm so glad. People tell me sometimes that I'm an honorary therapist, and I'm gonna claim that.
No, 100%, because you know, like I'm still figuring out who I am and like,
of course,
making sense of everything that's happened, and like having the opportunity to share that with someone. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Yeah. No, I heard your story, I was like, oh my God, this is so like not only interesting, but just inspirational. Like every time I talk to you, I'm just like, anything is possible.
it really is. And like, you know, I think I would have been really well served to like hear more women talk about like making the decision to end a relationship, because I think when you see other people do it and you see them like their lives not ending and everything being fine and them actually being like happier as a result, I think it would have.
I think it's like, especially for women, I think of like a, you know, quote unquote failed relationship hits harder than for a man for a failed relationship and changing careers. I think those that is wrapped up in gender. And I think it's like for me with this podcast, it's just wanting to create content that I wish I had. Yeah. And so, I mean, I haven't been through the situation you've been through, but every time I talk to you, I look up to you so highly because you've gone through so much in the intentional, like, living part of that and choosing like hard things to be happy is major. That's part of the intentional living. It's not going to be easy. It's actually really fucking hard to choose you and choose happiness. Like it's easier to just say, I'm going to do what everyone tells me to do. It's easier to just say, I am going to suck up and continue this, because it'd be harder to change. But I think the most courageous thing you do is choose what's going to make you happy.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, like I said, I just wanted to say thank you for, you know, giving me the opportunity to, you know, share my story, because it's, you know, everything's a work in progress, but, you know, I'm grateful for the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely.
And my journey post my career as an employment and civil litigation lawyer is doing workplace culture consulting. So this concept is, I think, new in some ways and familiar at the same time. The industry of consulting is not new. People hire professionals all the time to advise them on their business. Where my process is unique is that I approach things through the lens of workplace culture. And it's multidisciplinary. So we're looking at organizational behavior. We're looking at workplace psychology. And, you know, we're also looking at it through the lens of an experienced employment lawyer. And what I offer is the opportunity for organizations to look at their culture through an outside lens. So I do workplace culture audits where I go in and I talk to employees about what's working well in their work environment and where there's opportunity for improvement. And I provide information anonymously, obviously, to management and tell them, give them some advice and tools about how to manage their culture differently. So that looks like workshops. It looks like, you know, providing training and coaching to managers about how to lead people more effectively. It's really a tailored approach depending on my client. But I'm really giving people the tools to manage workplace relationships successfully and making sure that people show up to work every day, feeling safe, feeling, you know, psychologically supported, feeling like they have the tools and resources to do their jobs well, and just trying to make work better for everyone. Because I think what the pandemic has shown us is that a lot of workplaces have, you know, taken a back seat in terms of how they're looking at their culture. And the pandemic really brought that to the forefront about how unhappy a lot of their workforce is with their jobs. And so I'm providing business owners with the opportunity to do it better. And, you know, we create custom plans based on your unique team and your unique industry. And I'm so excited to be doing this work. It feels so purposeful to me. I love my clients. I love working with them. And yeah, I love just helping people be happy at the jobs because we spend more time at work than we do anywhere else.
Literally. Yeah, it's so cool. When you told me this, I was like, oh my gosh, you merged employment law, like your history with that, and consulting, and something like not only from personal experience, but then like having that legitimate experience and that understanding of all of these things and like merged it. And I was like, this is just so unique and cool. Like, I think that is just so amazing. And I'm so glad that you have embarked on that journey because it sounds like it's so intentional with you and what lights your fire. And I think it's so cool to see not only people do what they love, but I think this is going to help so many companies, like you just said, we're in the great resignation time right now. So yeah. I think there's going to be a point where people and businesses are going to have to pivot the culture to be able to keep employees and keep.
Yeah. And like, it's not just about compensation anymore. A recent study from MIT came out that shows that toxic culture is 10 times more significant to an employee's decision to leave their company than their overall compensation. So like, money isn't everything. And in fact, it is 1/10 as significant as workplace culture in terms of whether or not a person is going to leave their job. So if you're a business owner who's struggling with retention or turnover, any of those things, I'd be so happy to work with you. You can find out about me through my website. It's www.noveraconsulting.ca. You can also go to our Instagram page and you can connect with us there. It's just Novera. Oh, I'll have to check my handle. I think it's Novera_consulting.
I'll have it linked.
Yeah. Thank you. Great business owner myself. And then, yeah, I'm always so happy to connect with people on Instagram too. I'm not super present there all the time, but, it's like my own little personal diary. I love pictures and then writing about my life. So that's kind of
my Instagram for. It's amazing.
And it's just, I'm at Chloe Wayne on Instagram. Amazing.
I'll have that all linked in the show notes, guys. Go check her out. Go check out Novera. Chloe, thank you so much for coming on. This is such a beautiful conversation. I love every time I talk to you. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have so much love and respect for you.
Thank you so much. And so much love and respect for you too. I think, you know, I love talking with other entrepreneurs and like career-driven women and, you know, women who are just out here doing what feels aligned for them. And I think to, you know, have the platform and your podcast and everything that you've built is really awesome. So,
thank you.
Shout out to you too. So the respect is 100% mutual.
And thank you. That means a lot. As always, guys, you can connect with me at the Not So Average Betch and at For What For Who podcast. If you enjoyed this, share it on your Instagram stories, tag us. We'd love to hear from you. And as always, love yourself, love others, and wash your fucking hands. I'll see you next Monday.